Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, April 20th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Gandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Opposition Africa Democratic Party President Marceline Chikasha says the Zimbabwean government must share the blame for the xenophobic attacks in South Africa.
Whilst we can petition and organize little marches in South Africa, the problem certainly falls squarely at the feet of ZANU-PF. ZANU-PF has virtually criminalized existence. Being born Zimbabwean is now a punishment.
Some observers say the political discord in the ruling ZANU-PF government over bonus payments for civil servants is the party's strategy to distract Zimbabweans from pressing issues.
There might be genuine policy incongruence within the government in the sense that we are hearing conflicting statements and signals in terms of, you know, policy issues. This is not the first time that this is happening.
And the political temperatures are rising again in the ruling ZANU-PF party, with fresh calls for the expulsion of the so-called remnants of former Vice President Joyce Mujuru.
Opposition Africa Democratic Party President Marceline Chikasha says the Zimbabwean government must share the blame for the xenophobic attacks in South Africa due to its failure to provide local jobs and create a conducive environment to keep its nationals in the country. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera reports.
Chikasha told journalists in Harare that Zimbabweans were at the mercy of an uncaring government, a situation that is forcing locals to leave the country to look for jobs in various nations, including South Africa. She said even those that remain in the country are suffering and living in abject poverty as the economy is declining fast.
Whilst we can petition and organize little marches in South Africa, the problem certainly falls squarely at the feet of ZANU-PF. ZANU-PF has virtually criminalized existence. Being born Zimbabwean is now a punishment that comes with toil, hardship, and an uncertain future. This cannot carry on.
She said Zimbabweans will not be among foreign nationals currently being persecuted in South Africa if their leaders were responsible and cared about people's welfare.
We don't need corrupt and cruel leaders driving around in big cars and building mansions while the majority of people are living on less than $1 a day. What we need is a fresh start, a new vision for Zimbabwe that will usher us into an era of prosperity.
ZANU-PF Deputy Director for Information, Psychology Maziwisa, described Chikasha's statement as nonsense. Zimbabweans are among thousands of foreigners affected by xenophobic attacks, which broke out in Durban 2 weeks ago. About 407 displaced local people being ferried in state-provided buses are expected in the country today. The Civil Protection Unit, which has been designated by government to deal with those returning home, could not be reached for comment, as Director Mazuzo Pawahira was not answering his mobile phone. The unit has set up some support centers for the displaced Zimbabweans. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
As Zimbabweans express their disappointment over their government's failure to provide jobs, King Goodwill Zwelithini convened a Zulu Indaba in Durban, known as Imbizo, to discuss the disturbances. King Zwelithini, who told thousands of people who attended the Imbizo that he had nothing to do with the xenophobic attacks, urged all those repatriating the violence to stop it.
Ukuba lembiko yokuthi ngiphake impi iyiqiniso ngabe lelizwe liwumlohodi namuhla ke nginibize ngoba ngifuna.
If it was true that I declared war, this country will be now in ashes. Today I called you so that you can take some measures to protect all foreigners.
Inkatha Freedom Party leader Mangosuthu Buthelezi, who attended the Imbizo, also urged South Africans to stop the xenophobic attacks. On Saturday, President Robert Mugabe attacked King Zwelithini and other South Africans for sparking the violence which has spread from Durban to other parts of the country.
Several Zimbabwean artists are holding a peace concert at the Boo Cafe in Harare this evening to condemn the xenophobic attacks and killings in South Africa. Performers at tonight's concert include Bob Nyabinde, Albert Nyati, Leonard Mafumo, Africa Revenge, and many more. Reporter Ntungamili Nkomo reached one of the organizers and performer Linda Gabriel.
So we're having a Black on Black Love concert, which is being hosted by United Artists Against Prejudice. We try to gather as many artists as we can to say no to xenophobia. And at the same time, we're saying it's Black on Black Love, which is Black on Black Hatred. And what we're trying to do is we're saying let's artists because we believe our art speaks volumes.
As an artist, what message will you be delivering at this concert?
First and foremost, why can't we live as one in harmony despite of the boundaries and borders that someone else created for us? I mean, you don't need to be Malawian, you don't need to be Zimbabwean or South Africa. I think for us the most important thing is we are human beings, and at the same time, it cannot be black on black or even black on white. But the other thing is, why can't we just live in harmony, in peace and in love, you know?
A poet and co-organizer of tonight's anti-xenophobia concert in Harare, Linda Gabriel, on the line with reporter Ntungamili Nkomo. Some observers say the political discord in the ruling ZANU-PF government over bonus payments for civil servants is the party's strategy to distract Zimbabweans from pressing issues. They say the ruling party is well known for creating problems and then appear to be solving them in public, as what happened when President Robert Mugabe on Saturday attacked his finance minister Patrick Chinamasa for allegedly making an unsanctioned statement that the government was suspending bonus payments for civil servants. Mr. Mugabe criticized his minister and assured civil servants that the bonuses will be paid despite Chinamasa's fears that the country won't have money to pay the 13th check for the next 2 years. Political analyst Charles Mangongera tells Studio 7 the so-called conflict between President Mugabe and Chinamasa is not surprising.
There might be genuine policy incongruence within the government in the sense that we are hearing conflicting statements and signals in terms of, you know, policy issues. This is not the first time that this is happening. You remember that at the very beginning of this government, you know, there were conflicting statements that came out from various cabinet ministers concerning the indigenization law. But again, within the very same period, we had very strong statements coming out of the president and other cabinet ministers saying, actually, we are intensifying indigenization. And now we are seeing it playing out again with the issue of the bonuses for civil servants. But the president, you know, used the occasion of independence to say that's not policy, it's their opinion. So it might demonstrate some degree of policy discord within this government.
Can we see heads rolling?
I don't think any heads will roll. If anything, I think that the damage control has already been done. Jonathan Moyo, I saw one of his tweets saying, well, the president is the boss and the boss has spoken and therefore this issue has been settled once and for all. And Chinamasa was actually apologizing profusely to say, you know, there have been procedural mistakes and so on and so forth. I think it's their way of trying to manage their public relations position. I don't think that some of them anticipated that the president was going to make this announcement.
That was independent political analyst Charles Mangongera on the phone from Harare.
Some Americans have come to Zimbabwe to cater for the poor. Ivan Chifera was at a function to welcome the visitors who were warmly welcomed by the Harare City Council.
Harare Mayor Ben Manyenyeni says the local authority is committed in upgrading all the 70 slums in the city. He made the remarks as he met a delegation of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which is in the country for the commissioning of a $5 million housing project funded by the American Charity Organization.
We've worked on this $5 million project. We hope, because of the performance that has been talked about, we can negotiate for maybe renewal or another similar chunk from these people or any other.
The 5 million housing project for the poor in Zwaresekwa was moved from Bare High Density suburb after some ZANU-PF activists rejected it. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Although the leadership of the MDC formation, led by Morgan Tsvangirai, recently reaffirmed its stance to shun parliamentary by-elections until there are visible electoral reforms, not all party members support this move. Our correspondent Taurai Shava reports from the Midlands provincial capital, Gweru.
One of the disgruntled supporters is Tendai Mangu, who says despite valid claims of past electoral irregularities and the need for reforms, it is wrong for the party not to participate in by-elections, as ZANU-PF would take full advantage of the situation.
I am personally against the decision to boycott by-elections because ZANU-PF will use this to its advantage. My opinion is that we should soldier on because by withdrawing, it would appear as if we are afraid of ZANU-PF. Let's take part in elections.
Mango is among several other MDCT supporters who attended Tsvangirai's rally in Gweru, where the MDC founding president further noted that the party will continue the boycott until there are tangible electoral reforms in the country. The supporters expressed concern that the MDCT does not seem to have a clear plan on what else to do in terms of ensuring that there are electoral reforms besides boycotting the elections. Tsvangirai could not be drawn to discuss the issue after the rally, only stating that Zimbabweans should not sit back and expect other people to solve their problems for them. Sources say there's division even among the party's top leadership over the decision to boycott the by-elections. But supporters like Tinashe Zimbabwe are solidly behind the decision. He said the party should go further and withdraw from parliament.
As Zimbabweans, if we rally behind Tsvangirai's decision to boycott elections, it will be impossible for President Robert Mugabe to continue running this country alone. I won't see him staying in office until 2018. I'm 100% behind Tsvangirai. He is correct, and his decision is not for his own benefit, but for the benefit of ordinary Zimbabweans who have suffered for far too long. It's pointless to have members of parliament who live a good life while the rest of the people are suffering.
Didmas Dewa, a development, peace and conflict resolution studies lecturer with the Zimbabwe Open University, speaking as an independent analyst, said he agrees with the view that the MDCT's boycott could have far-reaching negative consequences for the party.
You may find that the party may split along ideological differences.
Some observers say instead of having an apparent top-down decision, the MDCT should have consulted its grassroots supporters in order to get a more widely accepted resolution that would guarantee a unified vision. The by-elections resulted from the recalling of the MDC Renewal Party lawmakers who were recalled by the MDCT. Reporting for Studio 7 from Gweru, this is Taurai Shawa.
Direct from Washington, the voice of America, VOA.
Political temperatures are rising again in the ruling ZANU-PF party with fresh calls for the expulsion of the so-called remnants of former Vice President Joyce Mujuru. Mrs. Mujuru was expelled early this month. Talk that is forming a political party has also caused panic in the ruling party. Masvingo province is the latest to call for the expulsion of 10 former senior party officials, who include dismissed ministers like Dzikamai Mavaire, Kudakwashi Basikiti, and Paul Chimedza. Also facing expulsion is suspended provincial chairman Kalisto Gwanetsa, who told Studio 7 that for now he has no comment. Maswingo joins Harare, which has recommended that 25 party bigwigs be expelled, Marondera and Mashonaland East and West. ZANU-PF insiders told Studio 7 that they are deeply divided on the issue. Political analyst Pedzisai Ruhanya tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that mistrust is hurting the party.
I think it's part and parcel of the ongoing power struggles within ZANU, but also fundamentally to make sure that those who were allegedly aligned to former Vice President Mujuru are removed from the structures of the party, and to make sure that the Mujuru group is no longer getting access to the goings-on in ZANU. So it's part of the pages, it's part of the infighting, and it's part of the uprooting of Mujuru sympathizers within the structures of ZANU.
But why is it that those who are sympathetic to Mujuru who are still in the party are not coming out? They are just silent. What's happening?
It's not a lack of strategy, but it's fear of the cold out there. As you would know, even my Mujuru, until she was expelled, she never said she would leave. Because all these people gained their wealth, gained their power, gained their properties, courtesy of ZANU.
That was political analyst and director of the Zimbabwe Democracy Institute, Pedzisai Ruhanya, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kilohertz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
volunteer U.S. surgeons to perform free cleft lip operations in Zimbabwe.
And a closer look at the abandoned Zimbabwe Independence Cup match. Stay tuned for more details.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
The White House has condemned in the strongest terms the mass murder of 30 Ethiopian Christians in Libya claimed by Islamic State. A spokeswoman said the killings show the urgent need for a political settlement to the chaos in Libya and a unified rejection of terrorist groups.
The European Union Foreign and Interior Ministers are holding a joint conference in Luxembourg to discuss the migration disaster in the Mediterranean.
13 children were among the 98 Syrian migrants whose boat originated from Turkey on the perilous journey to Europe.
Several hundred people gathered Sunday in the south-central U.S. state of Oklahoma at the former State of the Federal Building to mark the 20th anniversary of the terrorist bombing there that killed 168 people.
And militant group Al-Shabaab has claimed responsibility for a bomb attack Monday on a United Nations bus in northern Somalia that killed at least 7 people and wounded several others.
Volunteer surgeons from the United States in collaboration with the University of Zimbabwe College of Health Sciences, Health Ministry and Zimbabwe Rotary will join local surgeons to perform free surgeries for cleft lip and cleft palate and other operations at Harare Hospital early next month. Jennifer Truppenbach of Operation of Hope says the screening day will be on May 10th and all potential patients should attend the screening process at this hospital. Truppenbach speaks to Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye about the forthcoming program.
The team, our all-volunteer surgical team, leads the United States and they'll arrive at Harare or in Harare on May the 8th. And on the 9th, we set up the hospital and get 2 operating rooms all ready to go with the equipment tested and all of our supplies organized. And then on the 10th, we'll have a screening day at Harare Central Hospital. And we're welcoming every child or adult any age that is suffering from a cleft lip or a cleft palate condition. And then we'll start surgery Monday through Friday and then have three more additional days, finishing about May 20th.
Can you describe for us what cleft palate is so that some of our listeners out there who may be thinking of coming on your program can actually do so when you do come in next month?
A cleft lip is, there's two conditions. One is a cleft lip and one is a cleft palate. And a child can be born with both, and it's a genetic condition, much like if I have blue eyes and a person has brown eyes. So there's no fault of the mother or the father. It's nothing they did, nothing they ate or didn't eat. It is just a genetic condition. So a cleft lip is a baby that's born with a split in their lip, and then a cleft palate would be a baby that was born with a hole in the roof of their mouth. And you can be a child that has both, or you can just have one condition or the other.
So what would you advise for those that are thinking of attending the screening process? What do they have to bring to the process?
The only thing you need to bring, if they have medical records, that is very helpful for us to look at the child's health history. If they don't have medical records, that's fine too. We just ask that everyone that wants to be seen by our team of doctors arrive by 8 a.m. on May the 10th. And our team of doctors will look at every child. It's a very long day, but we do ask for their patience, and most people are incredibly patient. So you arrive first thing in the morning, and then we literally see every child, and sometimes our screening clinics can be 100, 200, even 300 people. So it's a long day, but we do promise that in that day we will see every person who does arrive.
And how many patients are you looking at treating at this clinic that you'll be having?
We will screen for, we have approximately 75 surgical places, so we will take the priority. So if a child, for example, comes and they have a fever or a cold or they don't weigh enough and we need to help them with nutrition or iron or medicine, we'll take care of them that way, and then we can easily do the surgery when they're a little bit older, a little bit stronger. But for the most part, it's a day where you arrive and you don't need to bring anything. You just need a lot of patience, and we slot you in, and hopefully you will have one of those 70 to 80 positions. If the baby cannot be operated on for any reason, for example, we might need to give them more nutrition. We give them a slip of paper and we ask for them to come back the next time we return, and we put them in the front of the line. Our surgeons are all board certified, so this is a specialty that they do. They're very, very good at it. And this is our 15th mission to Harare Central, or to Zimbabwe.
And how big is the team that's going to Zimbabwe this time around? And what is their background?
There are approximately 16 volunteers. Three of them are surgeons in facial reconstructive specialties. And then we have six nurses. So we have recovery room nurses, post-op nurses. We have ward nurses. We have a team then of support people. So some of our non-medical people help with bathing the babies or making sure they're fed, making sure medicine gets to them. All the extra things, kind of extra set of hands that it takes to do 75 to 80 surgeries in 8 days.
That was Zimbabwe's Jennifer Trobenbush of Operation of Hope speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyawe from California here in the United States.
After the call by King Goodwill Zwelithini in Durban today for an end to xenophobic attacks against foreigners in South Africa, political analyst Zenzo Nkomo tells reporter Standigile Mhlanga that the continued calls for peace and tolerance by traditional and political leaders is likely to make a significant difference.
I have to emphasize it is a bit early to really say whether it has come to a total end. Because I think we will recall that this is not the first time we have seen such activity in South Africa. You recall that in 2008, there was another xenophobic attack that was really directed to particularly African immigrants here in South Africa.
Talking of intervention, now that King Zwelithini and Inkatha Freedom Party leader Buthelezi have also called for calm, do you think this will make a significant difference?
Yes, I think it is going to have a very, very big impact. Knowing how the Zulu people operate, particularly those who are from the rural areas, they are still very much traditionalists. They listen to the king when he speaks to them. I think this meeting will really make a very, very big difference. But we'll still have to see going forward what is going to happen.
That was political analyst Zenzo Nkomo on the line with Studio 7, Standile Mhlanga from Johannesburg in South Africa.
And in sports news, there was drama at the National Sports Stadium when the Independence Trophy final was called off due to a power cut. Reporter Michael Cariati gives us the story.
What had been billed to be a day of celebration turned out to be nothing but an ordinary day after the Independence Trophy final was called off due to floodlights failure at the National Sports Stadium. Normally, most Zimbabweans flock to the National Sports Stadium to watch football for free, but that was not to be, as Dynamos and defending champions FC Platinum could only play for 65 minutes. The game never resumed after 31 minutes when power was restored as the teams had left the pitch and most of the fans were on their way home. The game was called off by Match Commissioner Lovemo Marange after Dynamos had taken a first half lead through Ronald Chitio. Zimbabwe Football Association spokesperson Ngolisani Gwesela announced that the association and the Sport and Recreation Commission would be meeting to decide whether the game be replayed or Dynamos be declared the winners.
We are confident that we have a position and we will announce it to the football fraternity and the nation on the way forward.
But Dynamos coach Dave Mangora is happy that his team was leading at the time the lights went off and thinks they could have got another goal and killed off the game as a contest in the remaining 25 minutes.
It's unfortunate that the lights went off. We're trying to get another goal to kill off the game, but what has happened, we never expected it, but that's football.
But his FC Platinum counterpart, Nomen Mapeza, believes his team could have equalized and thinks a replay would be the best possible option.
It was difficult. The conditions were not all that good for football.
Football analyst Stanley Mudenda thinks there is need for a replay of the whole 90 minutes. He, however, feels Dynamos should keep their one-goal advantage.
It must be replayed for 90 minutes. It's good.
But there were no such problems at White City Stadium in Bulawayo, where ZPC Kariba finished third after beating neighbours Capes United 1-0. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts will be talking with listeners and experts about the continued xenophobic attacks in South Africa.
You can send us an email to studio7@voanews.com or text us at the following number: 001-202-465-0318.
And now to recap today's top stories.
Some observers say the political discord in the ruling ZANU-PF government over bonus payments for civil servants is the party's strategy to distract Zimbabweans from pressing issues.
Opposition Africa Democratic Party President Marcelin Chikasha says the Zimbabwean government must share the blame for the xenophobic attacks in South Africa.
And political temperatures are rising once again in the ruling ZANU-PF party with fresh calls for the expulsion of the so-called remnants of former Vice President Joyce Mujuru.
That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington.
And I'm Chris Gande wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.